views expressed on this program are those of the hosts, guests, and callers, and are not necessarily those of this station, its management, or other advertisers. You're listening to Transformation Talk Radio.
Dr. Julie Show, all things connected with Dr. Julie Kroll, featuring weekly segments with David Eisen and the Chakra Sound System, is a transformative hit show that will explore the interconnection between ourselves, our community, and our world. Dr. Julie is joined by visionary leaders and change makers to explore innovations and what's emergent about the environment, relationships, health, the arts, education, and the evolution of consciousness. Each week, you will journey through infinite possibilities, expand into social potential, and find beautiful beginnings where endings leave off. Now here's your host, Dr. Julie Kroll.
Hello, this is Dr. Julie Kroll, and you're listening to the Dr. Julie Show, All Things Connected on Transformation Talk Radio. Stay with us for the next hour as we explore our interconnected lives. Every Tuesday right here on the Dr. Julie Show, we have some of the world's leading visionaries and experts helping you to explore your connection to self, spirit, nature, community, and all things working in the world. So speaking of what's working, imagine communities around the world shifting how they solve problems while they align and connect around values and beliefs, moving into their self-organizing genius and turning the chaos of change into coherence and sustainable solutions. Imagine meeting people who have walked out of limiting beliefs and assumptions and walked on to create healthy and resilient communities. These walkouts who walk on use their ingenuity and caring to figure out how to work with what they have to create what they need. Imagine communities from Mexico to India, from Columbus, Ohio to Johannesburg, South Africa, discovering their ingenuity, intelligence, inventiveness, and so much more to solve their seemingly unsolvable problems. I invite you to take a few deep breaths and bring your awareness into this moment. Listen deeply and expand your potential. It is my honor to introduce Deborah Fries, an author, entrepreneur, and social activist. Her award-winning book, co-authored with Meg Wheatley, Walk Out, Walk On, A Learning Journey into Communities Daring to Live the Future Now, profiles pioneering leaders who walked out of organizations failing to contribute to the common good. They were failing to contribute to the common good, and they walked on to build resilient communities. She is co-founder and managing partner of the Boston Impact Initiative, an impact investing fund that seeks to create systemic shifts in opportunity for urban communities. She is also founder of the Old Oak Dojo, a community home and urban learning center where neighbors gather to rediscover how to create healthy and resilient communities. Deborah, I could go on and on and on with all of the beautiful initiatives and things that you have going on in your life, but I'm going to stop right there and just say welcome.
Thank you so much. It's really a delight to be in this conversation with you.
Oh, it is my delight. I've been looking forward to this one for a long time, just because this whole topic of the breakdowns leading to breakthroughs, you know, as we're evolving our social systems and all these organizations on the planet, there's so many beautiful things that come out of it, and we don't have to only look at the chaos. But first, Deborah, one of our traditions on the show is we like to gather different perspectives on this unity consciousness. And from a social activist perspective, what does all things connected mean to you?
So this is sort of right at the heart of my work, and also I would say my unlearning and learning journey, because, you know, most of us grew up in an education that was still in this industrial mindset where everything is disconnected and can be reduced to separate parts. And the All Things Connected is returning us to the notion that we are part of life. And everything in living systems is connected. One species' food is another species' waste, and so on and so forth. Everything is connected. It's finally beginning to filter into our consciousness that we are part of life. We are not separate from life. We are not dominant over life. We are not the grand masters in life, the machine. It is this notion that we are a part of this whole, and how we gather with humans and with each other is part of the same whole as it is with our ecological environment, our human-made environment, and beyond.
I really appreciate that perspective and hearing that we're not the grand masters of life. I love how you say that. I've never heard that said quite that way yet before. But literally, there's really some potent wisdom right there, is if we really come out of that place of separateness and ego and dominating over things from that old way. I like the unlearning piece too, Deborah. Thank you for that. And move into this unity consciousness. So how in the world did you get to this place? What is your story? How did you come into this really beautiful understanding of the collective community and what we really need on our planet?
Well, this is really an unlearning journey, because I was in the business sector. I was a dot-commer, meaning I came out of business school. I had an MBA in 1998 when venture capitalists were just hunting down MBAs to create dot-com businesses and give them money and to create products and services that made no sense, and I was one of those people. And in the process from 1998 to 2001 of being part of that dot-com bubble, both the creation of it and the bursting of it, I became extremely disillusioned about sort of everything I had been taught was wrong. It was one of these sort of wholesale, what is going on out there? I'm seeing a lot of people behave in really ugly ways, and I have two different ways I can choose to interpret this. I can decide to believe that everybody's actually fairly evilly motivated, selfish, greedy, hoarding, self-interested. Or, thanks to some great mentors, I can believe that the game that we're playing, the system that we've designed, is flawed, and we're playing by the rules of that flawed game. We're not bad people. We're playing in a bad system. And that led me into this process of beginning to unlearn and also walk out. So I had been what you might have said a winner inside the dominant system, being a successful entrepreneur. And when I had this moment of disillusionment and I walked out, it was this chance to say, what did I really ingest from my culture about what success looks like and what winning looks like? And I was fortunate along the way in 2002 to meet a man named Manish Jain, who's one of the people that I write about in Walk Out, Walk On. And Manish is from India. He was born there, raised in the U.S., and he went back to India. And he, when he met me, he said, oh, welcome. You're one of the walkouts. And I had no idea what he was talking about. And what he was referring to was a community of people that he had noticed around the world who were walking out of these failing dominant systems, the sort of the way it is in our culture, which is to, you know, pursue growth, efficiency, hoarding, and increase your amount of wealth, consume whatever you want, that kind of culture that we, most of us, are swimming in. And who said, that culture is actually empty. It's not creating in the world what I wish to create, so I'm going to turn my back on it. I'm actually going to abandon it and walk out of it. And in that space, I don't know what comes next. We get ultimately to walking on to create the world we wish for, but before that happens, we end up in what we walk out sometimes call the trembling, which is I've walked out of the culture I might have been hardwired into, and I reject some of the beliefs of that culture, but I have no idea yet what to create in the world, because if I turn to create something right away, I'll probably create more of the same. So we land in this space of not knowing, and that's what I landed in around 2002, and got to meet many other folks who were questioning some of the assumptions about how we worked in the world, what we wanted to create in the world, how we were in relationship with each other and with the natural world, and that was this unlearning journey.
You know, just the whole notion of walking out creates this, really this big chasm of unknown in so many of the pioneers today, because they know they have to follow their heart. They know they have to be socially conscious and socially responsible and, you know, and put self-interest on the back burner behind the collective community and the community interest. And so it's a really difficult place to be. And then, like you said, and then we may create a lot of the new, because in my experience working with pioneers, I don't know if you experienced this, Deborah, but most of the people that I work with are ready to bring the new essence in, but have the old forms. And so there's no place for it. And I know we just have a few short minutes before break, and this would be a fascinating thing to pick up afterwards. But can you give us a synopsis of how do we move out of the old forms without just creating a lot of new? Because the new forms really are being created in community and in whole new ways. There's not a lot of examples out there.
Well, so there's a way of understanding moving out of forms. There's the structural forms that we may think about walking out of, like walking out of institutions, walking out of schools, walking out of jobs, walking out of certain forms of healthcare, et cetera. But it's much more interesting to look at the sets of beliefs that we carry, because this is where we're going to learn how not to recreate the old. And so we talk about developing the capacity to understand distinctions in beliefs, by which I mean something like I carry in myself a belief system about transacting or about accessing power or about intervening. These are some of the distinctions we talk about in the book. And when we understand the difference between using power to create change versus using play, or using transacting versus being in a relationship of gifting, or from an intervention mindset to a friendship mindset, we call these distinctions and beliefs. And we have to exercise the muscle of discernment, develop some muscle internally to notice what are my beliefs about how change happens and what my role is, which ones did I inherit from my culture that I want to carry forward, and which ones are countercultural or part of the world I wish to give rise to that I actually need to exercise like you do a muscle. And the only way we can do that is by doing it in community, by doing it with fellow pioneers who are asking and exploring the same questions.
Oh, great. Oh, I am so excited for this hour. I can't even hardly sit in my seat here, Deborah. This is going to be juicy. Hey, we're all listening to the Dr. Julie Show with Deborah Fries. Stay with us. There's going to be so much more after this break. We'll be right back.
Transformation Talk Radio's amazing hosts span from the Pacific to the Atlantic Coast. With a world full of loyal fans, what's stopping you from joining our clan? Bring your powerful message to listening ears. We've been helping people do this for many years. Want to make a difference? We can help you out. Just give us at Transformation Talk Radio a shout. It's easy to get started with an email so small to host@transformationtalkradio.com, and then we'll give you a call. Want to experience a deeper spiritual connection, reduce stress, and overcome anxiety? You can take control of your life now with the power of meditation. Let Jennifer Farmer, gifted intuitive medium and spiritual teacher, show you how easy it is to develop your natural intuitive gifts, manage chronic pain, and live abundantly with a consistent meditation practice. Sign up now for Jennifer's newsletter at jenniferfarmer.com to receive a free healing meditation and watch her free instructional videos at jenniferfarmer.com.
Tap into your I Am energy to discover who you truly are and who you always have been. Dawn Smith offers a simple yet profound and life-changing way to discover your I Am energy that is hidden beneath the toxicity caused by choices we made consciously or unconsciously prior to today. This internal perfection is not an idea, a theory, or some vague notion or concept. On the contrary, it is beyond the grasp of the brain and its intellectual interpretations, as it lies deep within the language of our hearts. Visit IAmEnergy.ca.
Tune in each Tuesday at noon Pacific, 3 Eastern on TransformationTalkRadio.com for the Dr. Julie Show, All Things Connected with Dr. Julie Kroll, featuring weekly segments with David Eisen and the Chakra Sound System. Each week, you will journey through infinite possibilities, expand into social potential, and find beautiful beginnings where endings leave off. Changemakers from around the world will explore what's emergent about the environment, relationships, health, and the evolution of consciousness. Visit thedrjulieshow.com.
Tune in to the hit show, Get Into It, Winning at the Game of Life with intuitive energy healer and medium Lynn Brown on Transformation Talk Radio. Get ready to bring the magic of soul into every aspect of your life. Learn how to use spirit tools and experience the immediate connection with yourself as a spiritual being with natural spiritual abilities as you are guided on the pathway to success and joy. Visit ruintuit.com. That's the letter R, the letter U, intuit.com. And get into it now. Tune in each Wednesday at 1 p.m. Pacific Time, 4 Eastern Time on Transformation Talk Radio to Limelight Radio with Katina Macris. This is an inspirational, cutting-edge radio show educating worldwide listeners on the diversity of Lyme disease-related topics. Each week, Katina will interview some of the world's leaders in health, wellness, spirituality, and human potential. For more information, visit LimelightRadio.com.
We're back on the Dr. Julie Show, and this is Dr. Julie Kroll. My guest today is Deborah Fries, co-author with Margaret Wheatley on Walk Out, Walk On. And before we continue, Deborah, do you want to let our listeners know how they can contact you personally in case they want to check more into your work?
Sure. Just a couple of things. We have the Walk Out, Walk On website is www.walkoutwalkon.net, and there's a lot of information there. And I can also be found on Facebook and at Deborah@DeborahFries.com.
Great. Okay. Walkoutwalkon.net and DeborahFries.com. All righty. I'm going to repeat that later in the show, but right before the break, we were talking about the distinction in beliefs and that muscle of discernment. And I think that when communities come together, that's a really important thing. I love this unlearning term that you're talking about today of really how do we unlearn things that has been a part of our lives for so long. So Deborah, how did you unlearn then and get to the place where you really recognize that communities have to come together and work with the collective to make real social action?
One of my greatest teacher over this time has been being back and forth to Zimbabwe from 2003 on, because it's a story of a country that went through a very, very rapid wholesale systems collapse. There's a lot of way that people who are systems thinkers talk about the kind of change that can emerge from a systems collapse, and to be able to witness, unfortunately, this a country go from being sort of net exporter of agriculture, lots of great infrastructure, to 89.7 sextillion percent inflation, loss of all their food, closing down of hospitals, no schools. I mean, a complete failure. And so when you look at what does a community do in the face of true scarcity, most of us fall apart into the scarcity and we come into resignation and surrender. And witnessing through the learning center there, Kufunda Learning Village, outside of Harare, outside the capital, declare abundance in the face of real scarcity. They said, okay, sitting with the scarcity gets us nowhere. If we declare, in the face of all evidence to the contrary, that we have what we need, what will we see? How will our lens, how will our view change? And so they started to see all kinds of abundance where the rest of us would see scarcity. And one of the interesting examples of what they were doing is their land had an enormous amount of drought. It was very difficult to grow food in the soil, as well as some of the results of having used a lot of chemicals and pesticides in the soil. And they also had an ecological sanitation problem, which is where are people going to use the bathroom in rural communities. And instead of using one of the international development models for a toilet that digs, very expensive, digging a large hole that will get filled up over 20 years and be useless, they came up with their own design for what they called an arbor loo. They would dig a small hole. They would build a temporary structure over it. People would use that hole until it filled. They'd move the structure to a new site, and in that soil, they would plant a fruit tree. And it's soil that never could have been able to produce a fruit tree had it not had that kind of nutritional input. And you would go and visit these villages and some of the HIV widows throughout these communities who would, you know, each year I would go back and say, over here's my lemon tree and my papaya tree and my mango tree, and with delight show what they had created from one of the world's most abundant free assets, which is waste, whether that's, you know, human or non-human waste. So that kind of mindset that sees where the rest of us see waste, they see possibility. That's the kind of thing that happens when a community comes together and declares abundance, whether or not that's their experience.
Mm. So really that the whole mantra that we have all we need shifts the perspective of a community if we look at it in the lens that we have all we need.
Yeah, and that notion that it's not about whether or not that's true. It is the lens. This is why I talk about the limiting belief shift. That's a perfect example of the muscle of discernment, saying, yes, everybody in the world, international development, aid, everybody tells us that we are beset with scarcity. That's what we've inherited. We walk out of that limiting belief. We take on the new belief. We have abundance. We have the knowledge, the expertise, the resources, and the relationships. Even if it's not true in the conventional sense, and we will create from that place.
Say more about even if it's not true. What's the hook there? I can see where that would be in the collective, where some people would go, yeah, right. And yeah. So how do you really negotiate that?
It's difficult, and this is why this lives at the level of belief systems and the way we approach our community. So another example would be they had a very high rate of HIV, and they were not getting antiretroviral drugs into the communities for a number of different reasons, structural. The truth is what they need to solve the problem of AIDS is not coming. The response when we declare abundance is, okay, so maybe we're not going to keep fighting to get our hands on the antiretrovirals. That may be that we may not be able to do that. What do we have? We have herbs. We have ways of using some of our indigenous knowledge and some modern techniques to help people strengthen their immune systems with what we have right here. And that's sufficient. That's enough for now. Let's keep moving forward. We will not be stopped by what we don't have.
That is powerful in itself, of just saying, I like, now we're really getting the distinction of beliefs, because really there's a whole myriad of ways to approach a problem. And if one answer isn't the best in this moment, we still have all we need right here. I love that.
There's also the notion that that we're letting go of the one right way. So another example is Alan from Kafunda was so excited about solar. And he was not knowledgeable, trained. He wasn't a technician. He didn't have access to things he had. But he was really creative, and he was a very extroverted guy. And he just went around and had conversations, and he began to get scraps of PVC and attach them to all kinds of little, you know, computer batteries, all kinds of other small LED lights, things like that he could create little solar inventions made out of scrap. Had somebody from outside who had the right degrees, knowledge, and resources come in, great, they could have given Kafunda the solar panels it needed, but that's not how they were going to be able to create what they wanted to create. They didn't have access to that. So again, not being stopped by the lack of knowledge or the lack of expertise or the lack of financial resources.
Hmm. This and what you're describing is really a whole systems piece of looking outside even our own front yard, back into the community, into all of the resources, to what's available, and I really can appreciate that. You know, one of the things that I really want to go after our next break, I really want to talk about what this really means for our listeners of what they're seeing in their front yards and in their communities and how they can get involved. But one of the things that I love about your book and about this whole topic is your suggestion that sometimes we need compassionate care for the systems that are dying, for hospicing some of these organizations and systems and institutions that are going down. Can you just spend just a brief minute talking about what does that mean to really hospice these dying systems?
Yeah, so we talk about when we want to create a real change in our world, there are some of us who are meant to be pioneers creating the new. And there are some of us who are meant to stay inside failing systems and deliver this hospice care. And that would be, we're not all meant to walk out of the institutions. So staying inside of failing public school systems, staying inside of failing healthcare systems, and giving that compassionate and kind care so that there's less suffering. Because the new systems, the pioneers, aren't ready to take all of us on. So if we use the example of food systems, and we say there's sort of industrial agriculture and all kinds of food that is not healthy for us, and local organic food is where we want to head, today, if we stop producing industrial agriculture, there would be an extraordinary amount of suffering. The local food system isn't ready to receive all of us. So as the pioneers build the new, more resilient systems, we want to continue maintaining the systems that we have and making them do less harm and increase those who've been left out of even those systems. So the staying inside and continuing to attend to the dying, if you will, is part of the work of shifting the system overall.
You know, and if we do that consciously, I so appreciate this because the pioneers are ready to leap forward, and yet there's a lot of fear in the scarcity and in the breakdowns and in the chaos. And taking this compassionate approach to say, with intention, it's a conscious choice to stay here and tend to the failing system as we develop this new way of being and being in relationship and bringing forth this emerging culture that we're really focused on. I love that. I love that because it really helps people to really settle down their anxiety and to just be right there watching it from a different perspective. So, like I said, we have to take a quick break. When we return, let's find out what you can do in your community and how do we get started. This is Dr. Julie. You're listening to The Dr. Julie Show. We'll be right back.
Tune in to The Jen Royster Show, intuitive guidance to inspire your life. Each Thursday at 8 a.m. Pacific and 11 a.m. Eastern on TransformationTalkRadio.com. This amazing show is an inspirational hour that will take you on an epic metaphysical journey to discover the spiritual approach to life's greatest challenges. Dr. Jen is an internationally known intuitive counselor, spiritual teacher, and energy healer. Call in for intuitive readings and visit JenRoyster.com for more information.
What if there's nothing wrong with you? What if you're far greater than you've ever given yourself credit for? What if it's time to know the gift and the contribution you are to the world and to like yourself a lot more? Hi, my name is Dane here. 13 years ago, I started to truly ask questions. Actually, I started to be the question, and everything changed for me. Asking questions opens doors to infinite possibilities. And it's not about finding the answer. It's about being the question, always. What I'm inviting you to step into is something that Einstein, Marie Curie, Newton, Da Vinci, Gandhi, Picasso, and Aristotle all knew to be true. What if no question is too big or too small? What if anything is possible for you? What if together we could create a kinder, gentler, happier world? Is now the time? Go to beingyouclass.com and sign up for a free video series, My Gift to You. beingyouclass.com. What if you, truly being you, are the gift and change this world requires? beingyouclass.com.
Cloudy skies tonight. The humidity on the increase. Tonight's low 62. We'll see showers and even some thunderstorms tomorrow. Tomorrow's high 75. From the WBLQ Weather Center, I'm Rick Edwards.
Always inspiring and uplifting, Brenda Thine spreads love and light wherever she goes. Enlightening, empowering, and encouraging readings, Brenda connects with your guides, angels, fairies, and loved ones who have crossed over to provide you with the highest guidance possible to enable you to live your highest truth and maximize your potential. Always light-filled, a session with Brenda will have you feeling wonderful, centered, and ready to take on anything. Schedule your session now at BrendaThine.com. That's Brenda, T-H-Y-N-E.com.
Tune in each Tuesday at noon Pacific, 3 Eastern on TransformationTalkRadio.com for the Dr. Julie Show, All Things Connected with Dr. Julie Kroll, featuring weekly segments with David Eisen and the Chakra Sound System. Each week, you will journey through infinite possibilities, expand into social potential, and find beautiful beginnings where endings leave off. Change makers from around the world will explore what's emergent about the environment, relationships, health, and the evolution of consciousness. Visit thedrjulieshow.com.
Where do you desire to go in life? How do you plan to get there? Are you only looking outside yourself for the answers? What if you use your soul's wisdom to lead the way? So what is the soul, and how do you access its wisdom? Soul Suitcase with Victoria Cohen will unpack these questions and help you tap into and trust your own inner voice to solve everyday problems. Your Soul Suitcase is a treasure chest of wisdom inside you waiting to be discovered. Listen to Soul Suitcase on TransformationTalkRadio.com and discover how awakening to your inner voice transforms your life.
We're back on the Dr. Julie Show. I am Dr. Julie Kroll, and I have Deborah Fries with me. I just want to remind you, listeners, you can find Deborah at deborahfries.com. That's DeborahFriese.com. Or more about the book and a lot of interactive videos and blogs and stories from the Walk Out, Walk On book at walkoutwalkon.net. Deborah, right before the break, we were talking about hospicing, you know, the systems that aren't working anymore. And really, as we work to find solutions together in community, we need to take care of ourselves and the organizations that aren't working while we're trying to bring in the new. And all of our listeners probably can identify issues right there locally. And I always like to say, just be the light you are right where you're at. If you're going to save the world, you don't have to go out there and go find something far away to invest in. You really have to look in our neighborhoods. And that's an important part of this conversation. So I'd like to, I guess this is a twofold piece here, is what can our listeners do to get involved, create community, and start looking towards solutions? And I know for you, you went global and went all around the world looking at the ways people did this, and then you took it right back home to your own neighborhood too. So I'd like to talk about that. What can our listeners do?
So this is really, to me, the most important thing. I know that we see all around us systems falling apart, and we wonder what we should do that is the highest leverage. But the question has to be a quieter, more internal one, right? It has to be, what is my heart's passion? What do I care about? And starting there. And so this idea of working with emergence and recognizing that all things are connected creates the space for me to actually trust that if I choose something small that is really true for me, that is really what I'm called to, that's sufficient. There's a motto that I learned from Meg Wheatley and one of her colleagues, which is start anywhere, follow it everywhere. And there are stories throughout the book of one small action. And it's not that that's sufficient and we become complacent. It's that small action leads to the next small action, which leads to the next small action. So when you ask the question, what can we do at home? If my passion is food, that I start my own raised bed garden in the city, or I start organizing youth on my street to learn about local food, or if my passion is intergenerational relationships, right, then how am I in those intergenerational relationships in my family? Or again, in my office space. So it's what what does that lead to? Because when we connect one idea to another, then we start to see the emergence of large-scale systems change. We don't have to start with that. So that's why I say it really begins very, very much internally as a question of What do I get excited about or heartbroken about? That is mine to do. And who do I have the first conversation with who has that same resonance, who says, oh, yes, that touches my heart as well? For me, the process of coming home and doing it was, you know, I spent about 10 years out in the world, particularly in the Global South, in my unlearning and relearning journey. And as the book came out and I was on tour with the book talking about all change is local, all local issues are interconnected and complex, and we have to dive deep into the resources and relationships in our place. And everyone would say, so, Deborah, what are you doing at home in Boston? And my answer was, I was never there. And so that drove me back home to begin to apply this at home and to build, like the learning centers I'd written about in the book, to build an urban learning center here and to begin to build the resources and relationships in my own backyard. And so that sense of what drives me is the complexity of the whole problem, but in a very, very place-based way. Who lives here? What can we be in conversation around? What challenges and questions will we offer each other? How do we confront some of the differences and separations between us around race, around class, around economy? How do we begin to steward our land together in the city? These are the questions that are in my backyard, so they're the ones that move me.
So this is beautiful when you talk about people just being right in their own homes, looking at resources and relationships. And one of the terms that you talk about is translocal learning, that here we create solutions locally, and then these local solutions begin to connect, and people kind of learn about these solutions, like you said, creating the emergence of a larger scale systems change. So can you talk more about how do we connect these people then? How, first of all, if someone is really passionate about food or the environment or waste management or whatever that is, intergenerational, like you talked about, if someone's really passionate, how do they begin to find each other and connect? And then how do these solutions begin to connect in the world?
Well, this is why this is coming now. This is the gift of our networked age, which is that people are very mobile, we're very nomadic, and we're very connected at a distance over the internet and over all kinds of forms of communication. And so we're all pollinators, right? We're dropping seeds of ideas from one place to another place. So when you hear about reclaiming vacant lots for permaculture and eco-building in Boston, you hear about the same thing in Detroit, and you hear about it in Oakland. And when you hear about upcycling garbage, turning old bicycles into bicycle-powered laundry machines and blenders and irrigation pumps, you hear it travel, and this is one of our stories, from Guatemala to Mexico to India in relationship with other people in Boston and in other places. And so we can actually trust today that seeds of ideas are traveling. They're being carried by people, person to person, and they're being carried through networks and what we call, what we speak about, communities of practice, which we believe really are one of the greatest leverage points for change, which are people who care deeply about an issue or a practice area like urban agriculture, like climate change, like divestment from fossil fuels, whatever it might be. They care about that, and they want to connect to others who share that interest, who share that commitment, who share that set of values in order to grow the field. So they participate in a community of practice out of much more than self-interest. They want to create a shift around a set of values. And those innovations and ideas travel through story, through visiting each other, and through learning journeys, which is why we wrote about learning journeys. This is one of the ways that we get local ideas to travel translocally from place to place and emerge into large-scale movements.
So that is the answer and this solution that we're really trying to bring light to today and illuminate is, as people create solutions, the important piece is these movements, these solutions are really about the collective community. They're about community interests, not individual separate interests. And so in the old world, in the old paradigm, the individual separate interest is into competitiveness, and they hang on to it, and they try to monetize it or profit off of the ideas. In this new awakening place. We're all just sharing and cross-pollinating because it's better for the whole.
There's a friend of mine named Don Schaefer who heads up RSF Social Finance on the West Coast. I was talking to him about some of the work that I'm doing in local investing and how the same people were showing up in a lot of different situations, and I was worried about there being a conflict of interest. And he said, no, that's old paradigm language. The language today is a confluence of interest.
Mm.
We want to be in the same conversations together. We want to overlap. We want redundancy. That's what's going to give our system some resilience and some capacity to keep adapting to surprise. So this shift from having individual interests and being competitive to collective interests and being collaborative, even when we technically may be competitors by old standards, that's really exciting. That's where we see the same faces and new faces showing up again and again, and that's where we see the overlap in sectors. So food touches health, touches education, touches literacy, touches job training. That kind of thing is what we want to see today.
Mm, I love that. Confluence of interests. That's perfect. I love that. You know what? There is so much more we could talk about today, and we have to take another break. So I really want to focus in on some specific things that you're doing and then ask you a really tough question, and we'll see how you answer it. So, listeners, we are going to take a quick break. When we return, more with Deborah Fries at deborahfries.com or walkoutwalkon.net. Stay with us.
In to The Truth Is Funny with Colette Stephan each Wednesday at 8 a.m. Pacific, 11 a.m. Eastern on TransformationTalkRadio.com. This hit show will have you thinking outside the box and riding the wave of infinite potential. Join Colette on the Higher Self Network, inspiring listeners to shine their brilliance and ensure success while roaring with laughter as they recognize the humor of the giant cosmic joke. Visit TheTruthIsFunny.com.
Tune in to Heart Center Talk Radio with David Christopher Lewis, a gifted clairaudient, Aquarian spiritual author, and talented musical composer on TransformationTalkRadio.com every Wednesday, 9 a.m. Pacific Time, 12 p.m. Eastern Time, with delivering more than 4,000 messages from angels, masters, and divine beings. David will share the Ascended Master's teachings, insights, and surprising revelations to light bearers. Meet transformative guests who embody change and inspire hope and get a refreshing and deeply meaningful perspective on life. Tune in each Tuesday at noon Pacific, 3 Eastern, on TransformationTalkRadio.com for The Dr. Julie Show, All Things Connected with Dr. Julie Kroll, featuring weekly segments with David Eisen and the Chakra Sound System. Each week, you will journey through infinite possibilities, expand into social potential, and find beautiful beginnings where endings leave off. Change makers from around the world will explore what's emergent about the environment, relationships, health, and the evolution of consciousness. Visit TheDrJulieShow.com.
Hi, this is Greg Braden. The best minds of our time tell us that our world is changing in ways that we've never seen. It's happening on a scale that we're not used to, and for most of us, it's all faster than we've been prepared to accept. In my new book, The Turning Point, Creating Resilience in a Time of Extremes, I invite you to join me as together we discover the roots of the change that's transforming our lives. There is a time when every crisis can become transformation. That time is called The Turning Point. In our world, that time is right now.
Chris Stanis is a spiritual leader and healer and teaches a course on how you can transform your life through a meditation and healing system that will manifest your spirit's dreams. She manifested the Women of Wisdom Conference, the Women of Wisdom book, and this radio show. And she can show you how to change your life too. Are you ready? Visit the website and contact her at voicesofwomentoday.com. That's voicesofwomentoday.com.
Tune in to Psychic Cup of Coffee with Kelly Sutliff every Tuesday, 1 p.m. Pacific Time, 4 p.m. Eastern Time on TransformationTalkRadio.com. Kelly is a 14-year veteran of psychic ability, and she offers inspiration and comfort to those dealing with grief when they have lost a loved one, and also shares with people that the psychic world is very real. Call 1-800-930-2819 during the show with your questions and visit PsychicMediumKelly.com. That's PsychicMediumKelly.com.
We're back, and you're listening to the Dr. Julie Show, All Things Connected on Transformation Talk Radio. And this is Dr. Julie Kroll. We have been talking with Deborah Fries, and she's the co-author of the book Walk Out, Walk On. And you can find Deborah at www.deborahfries.com or walkoutwalkon.net. And please visit our website, thedrjulieshow.com, where you can find all of the archives from previous shows and upcoming guests, and stay connected all week on our Facebook page, All Things Connected with Dr. Julie. So this has been a fun show, and it's not over yet. Deborah, you're doing some amazing things right there in Boston that you were inspired after people were saying, so what are you doing? So let's talk about a couple of your initiatives so our listeners can know more about you and find more on the website as well. So what are you doing there in Boston?
Well, there's two initiatives that I got started around the same time, a little over a year ago. And they're related for me, and they all come from this work of thinking about place-based change. So my home is an urban learning center called the Old Oak Dojo, which is oldoakdojo.com. Dojo is a martial arts term that means place of the way. And it is a living building challenge building, which means we've built an eco-building, a green building that is net restorative to the environment. It's meant to put back more into the environment than it uses. So the materials are all salvaged or locally sourced. It reuses its water. It has an indoor compost toilet. It will get its energy from solar. And we offset the building with 1,000 square feet of urban agriculture. We do mushroom growing, beekeeping, a lot of composting, and a whole lot of play. We've got slack lines and climbing ropes and scaffolding for parkour and so on and so forth. And it's a gathering place for community to come together and ask challenging questions, to play, to explore, to figure out how do we live more sustainably in an urban environment. And for us, that's complemented, for me, that's complemented by the other work, which is called the Boston Impact Initiative, which is a place-based impact investing fund. So a lot of jargon there. We focus on Greater Boston, and we use investing, lending, and grant-making in combination to strengthen our local economy by creating more equitable access to capital for people who are often left out of capital. So business owners, primarily in low-income communities, communities of color, and immigrant communities, so that they can strengthen local business ownership, so that we both keep out the big multinational business world, and we also create more equitable access to capital for people that we want in our neighborhoods to offer their unique goods and services. And the combination for me is about saying, how do we deal with, in this country, in this culture, both our economic systems and our social systems and our environmental systems in a place.
And what does a typical day look like in the life of Deborah Fries?
That is an impossible question to answer. I sort of pretend that Tuesdays and Thursdays are Boston Impact Initiative days. Mondays are Old Oak Dojo days. Wednesdays are writing days because I'm an author, and Fridays I clean up the mess. So that's the story, but it doesn't really work out that way. There's a very permeable flow in and out of the Old Oak Dojo space. There's just a lot of dialogue and conversation. It's sort of the messy interdependence of community is what my day is filled with. And so it will go anywhere from a day like today, where we had a morning practice group coming in for movement. Then I went as Boston Impact Initiative to visit a bunch of incubator, accelerator, and co-working space organizations, to being on the radio with you.
Well, I am so happy you're here. So here's that tough question. Are you ready? I'm going to ask this tough question for you.
Okay.
And it's going to be a breeze for you. It'll be a breeze. What does the emerging global culture look like for you? What's your vision for an emerging global culture?
Well, that it's a very, very localized culture is the first thing that I'll say. But that we really have a return to our sense of place. And I mean that at every level, from the individual level, which is that what's going on with a lot of us as human beings is we've lost our sense of home inside. So that sense of returning to what home means, even if it's not geographic, that my personal work lives at the level of sort of this interior landscape of knowing my place in the world. And then knowing my place in my community. So how do I live on this land, in this building? How do I move around this place? How am I in relationship with others? And that pattern, like a fractal, repeats itself from one culture to another culture to another, so that we have a sense of belonging to myself, to this land, to this community, and to this nation, and to this world, these nested levels of a sense of home, that would call us out to really steward ourselves, each other, and the world very differently.
Mm-hmm. You know, that's a beautiful vision, and I was just having a conversation with a tribal steward from South Africa who talked about we've lost our sense of home as well, where everyone's projecting out there. There's something out there for me. And I really like that nesting that you brought up of really belonging to yourself first. Yeah. And how, as you layer that, it does go out into the world. That's beautiful.
Thank you. Yeah, and it's something that I notice. You know, there's less and less connection to place for most people, especially in a country like this where people are mobile and the household hasn't given people a sense of home. And as this younger generation, and we have a lot of young people come to us at the Old Oak Dojo, begin to really ask the question of how do I find my place in the world, all that's left is the interior state because we're so disconnected from place. But that gives me a sense of hope, because when young people are starting to say, I want to actually find my sense of place within first, then what comes outside is I will create that, a sense of place outside of myself as well.
Mm. That's great advice. It's also really exciting to hear that the young people are getting involved. And one of the examples you talked about in the book is that the young people walked out of their educational system, not dropped out, but walked out of a system that wasn't working. So we have just a brief minute or two here. What message of hope can you give our listeners today?
I just have this feeling of when I've been watching people come and gather here at our place, and knowing that the community of people that I wrote about in the world are having the same experience, that these places are magnetizing our greatest capacity and our greatest sense of possibility and our creativity and our generativity. And it's our isolation that is in the way of us healing what needs to be healed in our world. And so the more that we gather each other together, the more we call each other to come together into our deepest authentic questions and really witness each other in that struggle, that itself is yielding the kind of creativity and generativity that our world needs. So my hope is that people are inspired to say, yeah, I'm a little lost right now. This is my authentic question. Will you, my neighbors, and my community come together and sit in that trembling space, right, between walking out and walking on? Will you sit with me in this? And together we can witness each other begin to experiment with walking on.
Mm. Deborah, you are a precious jewel for our changing world. I so appreciate your voice and your work and your passion in it, and it comes through. And I appreciate your sense of playfulness as well as the very serious get down and get dirty work that needs to be done. So thank you for all of that. Thank you for stewarding this and serving our humanity in this way.
You are so very welcome, and anyone who wants to can come play with us at the Old Oak Dojo, because that's exactly what we do to try to face all that we're facing in the world. So, yes, thank you for noticing the sense of play.
Oh, I love it. Thank you so much. I'm going to remind our listeners, you can find Deborah at deborahfreeze.com. That is DeborahFreeze. .com or walkoutwalkon.net, and tune in here, right here, again next Tuesday for the Dr. Julie Show. You can find out the archives and the future shows on thedrjulieshow.com. Thank you all for tuning in to listen, and I hope you were just as inspired as I was today. Thank you, Deborah.
Thanks so much.
You're welcome. Bye, listeners. We'll see you next week.
You've been listening to The Dr. Julie Show, All Things Connected.
with Dr. Julie Kroll, featuring weekly segments with David Eisen and the Chakra Sound System. Tune in each Tuesday at noon Pacific and 3 Eastern on TransformationTalkRadio.com as you journey through infinite possibilities, expand into social potential, and find beautiful beginnings where endings leave off. Changemakers from around the world will explore what's emergent about the environment, relationships, health, the arts, education, and the evolution of consciousness. Visit thedrjulieshow.com for next week's guests and to catch up on past shows. See you next week.
In to The Truth Is Funny with Colette Steffen each Wednesday at 8 a.m. Pacific, 11 a.m. Eastern on TransformationTalkRadio.com. This hit show will have you thinking outside the box and riding the wave of infinite potential. Join Colette on the Higher Self Network, inspiring listeners to shine their brilliance and ensure success while roaring with laughter as they recognize the humor of the giant cosmic joke. Visit TheTruthIsFunny.com.
Tune in to Heart Center Talk Radio with David Christopher Lewis, a gifted clairaudient, Aquarian spiritual author, and talented musical composer on TransformationTalkRadio.com every Wednesday, 9 a.m. Pacific Time, 12 p.m. Eastern Time, with delivering more than 4,000 messages from angels, masters, and divine beings. David will share the Ascended Master's teachings, insights, and surprising revelations to light bearers. Meet transformative guests who embody change and inspire hope and get a refreshing and deeply meaningful perspective on life. Tune in each Tuesday at noon Pacific, 3 Eastern on TransformationTalkRadio.com for The Dr. Julie Show, All Things Connected with Dr. Julie Kroll, featuring weekly segments with David Eisen and the Chakra Sound System. Each week, you will journey through infinite possibilities, expand into social potential, and find beautiful beginnings where endings leave off. Changemakers from around the world will explore what's emergent about the environment, relationships, health, and the evolution of consciousness. Visit thedrjulieshow.com.
Hi, this is Greg Braden. Best minds of our time tell us that our world is changing in ways that we've never seen. It's happening on a scale that we're not used to, and for most of us, it's all faster than we've been prepared to accept. In my new book, The Turning Point, Creating Resilience in a Time of Extremes, I invite you to join me as together we discover the roots of the change that's transforming our lives. There is a time when every crisis can become transformation. That time is called the turning point in our world. That time is right now.
Chris Stainis is a spiritual leader and healer and teaches a course on how you can transform your life through a meditation and healing system that will manifest your spirit's dreams. She manifested the Women of Wisdom Conference, the Women of Wisdom book, and this radio show. And she can show you how to change your life too. Are you ready? Visit the website and contact her at voicesofwomentoday.com. That's voicesofwomentoday.com.
Tune in to Psychic Cup of Coffee with Kelly Sutliff every Tuesday, 1 p.m. Pacific Time, 4 p.m. Eastern Time on TransformationTalkRadio.com. Kelly is a 14-year veteran of psychic ability, and she offers inspiration and comfort to those dealing with grief when they have lost a loved one, and also shares with people that the psychic world is very real. Call 1-800-930-2819 during the show with your questions and visit PsychicMediumKelly.com. That's PsychicMediumKelly.com.
Chris Stainis is a spiritual leader and healer and teaches a course on how you can transform your life through a meditation and healing system that will manifest your spirit's dreams. She manifested the Women of Wisdom Conference, the Women of Wisdom book, and this radio show. And she can show you how to change your life too. Are you ready? Visit the website and contact her at voicesofwomentoday.com. That's voicesofwomentoday.com.
Tune in to Psychic Cup of Coffee with Kelly Sutliff every Tuesday, 1 p.m. Pacific Time, 4 p.m. Eastern Time on TransformationTalkRadio.com. Kelly is a 14-year veteran of psychic ability, and she offers inspiration and comfort to those dealing with grief when they have lost a loved one, and also shares with people that the psychic world is very real. Call 1-800-930-2819 during the show with your questions and visit PsychicMediumKelly.com. That's PsychicMediumKelly.com.
Chris Stanitz is a spiritual leader and healer and teaches a course on how you can transform your life through a meditation and healing system that will manifest your spirit's dreams. She manifested the Women of Wisdom Conference, the Women of Wisdom book, and this radio show. And she can show you how to change your life, too. Are you ready? Visit the website and contact her at voicesofwomentoday.com. That's voicesofwomentoday.com.
Tune in to Psychic Cup of Coffee with Kelly Sutliff every Tuesday, 1 p.m. Pacific Time, 4 p.m. Eastern Time on TransformationTalkRadio.com. Kelly is a 14-year veteran of psychic ability, and she offers inspiration and comfort to those dealing with grief when they have lost a loved one, and also shares with people that the psychic world is very real. Call 1-800-930-2819 during the show with your questions and visit PsychicMediumKelly.com. That's PsychicMediumKelly.com.